Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two of this Tuesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are going to be hitting news and some of our opinions of the news this hour. I'm going to open up with a story. We're going to have Stan Deo joining us next hour. We did a live show last Tuesday, kind of unplanned, but Stan was not with us. And I have a few questions that I want to ask him due to some
articles. Just to be clear, okay, we did the show, but we were unable, because of how we did it, we were unable to bring anyone else on, just so you know that, okay? It wasn't, I mean, it was kind of twisted, but go on.
I want to hit this, and then we're going to get back into some discussion here. Judicial Watch releases today. New Clinton documents raise questions on Benghazi and the Clinton Foundation. 2 days after the Benghazi attack, Libyan president sought meeting with Bill Clinton through the Clinton Foundation. Judicial Watch today released a 260 pages of internal State Department documents revised within 2 days of the deadly terrorist attacks on Benghazi. Mohammed Youssef al-Marjarif said that the president of Libya's National Congress asked to participate in a Clinton Global Initiative function and meet President Clinton. The meeting between Libyan President and Bill Clinton had not previously been disclosed. The documents also show Secretary of State Clinton's staff coordinated with the Clinton Foundation staff to have her thank the Clinton Global Initiative Project sponsors for their commitments during the foundation speech on September 25, 2009. Judicial Watch documents were obtained as a result of the federal court order in a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit filed against the State Department by Judicial Watch. Now, it goes on to note here that the Dr. Faithi Nua wrote to the Clinton Foundation Director of Foreign Policy, Amitabh Diazi.
Yeah, don't even try. I mean, you know.
Well, anyways, they go on to say that, you know, they wanted the President Clinton to participate at the Clinton Global Initiative meeting for New York and to meet with Bill Clinton. This is the quote here. Would U.S. government have concerns about Libyan president being invited to Clinton Global Initiative? Odd timing, I know. Mills emailed back. We would not have issues. 4 days later, on September 17th, Diassi emailed Mills again saying the Libyan president is asking for a meeting with William Jefferson Clinton next week, and would you recommend or accepting or declining the meeting? The State Department apparently had no objection to the meeting because on September 26th, the emails, Mills writes, he had a very good meeting with Libya, Hillary Clinton, and al-Marjarif did not have a meeting until September 24th. Anyways, the email chain, including Hillary Clinton's then Chief of Staff Huma Abedin and Mills, Deputy Chief of Staff for Staff Policy Jake Sullivan, shows that the State Department coordinated with the Clinton Foundation staff on how Mrs. Clinton was to thank the foundation and supporters and partners for their commitment. Mills asked for a list of commitments during a whole session so she can reference more than those just around her speech. So this goes back to the chain of emails that were and the email scandal in general, with other news coming out that experts say they do not expect any indictment whatsoever in the Clinton email scandal, but they did go on to say that this is going to hurt her politically more so than legally, whatever that means. But this lawsuit, the Judicial Watch's FOIA lawsuit, has become particularly noteworthy because it has been reported that the Clinton Foundation, known as the Bill and Hillary and Chelsea Foundation, accepted millions of dollars from at least seven foreign governments while Clinton served as Secretary of State. The Clinton Foundation acknowledged that a $500,000 donation was received from the government of Algeria while Mrs. Clinton served as Secretary of State, violated a 2008 ethics agreement between the foundation and the Obama administration. Some of the foreign governments that have made donations to the Clinton Foundation include Algeria, Kuwait, Qatar, and Oman. And have questionable human rights records.
We have an omen about Oman.
And there's a full list of documents that can be found at Judicial Watch. But the, I mean, just days after the Benghazi attack, they're setting up all these meetings between themselves, herself, her husband, and the foundation staff to Libyan personnel without knowing the truth of the matter, still telling the lie that it was based from, the attacks in Benghazi were based from a terrorist, or a video, Innocence of Muslim, and backlash from that, knowing full well it was a terrorist attack based on the smuggling of arms to the Al-Qaeda in Libya.
Hmm. Well, all right.
I mean, talking about in bed with the enemy.
Yes, well, speaking about being in bed with the enemy, folks, here's a couple of things. And if, I'm just going to get right into this because I put a lot of thought into this and what we're facing right now, what you see happening in Brussels, what you saw happen in Paris, what you have seen happen all in Western Europe, look, the Brussels attacks took a long time to plan. Don't tell me some yo-yos strapped,
Turkey President Erdogan warned of these attacks in Brussels 4 days before the event took place. Also, this is where the last terrorist in the Paris attacks were arrested just days
right
before. Now I want to ask you, do you see a connection? Because many in the media are trying to make the connection that it was backlash from the arrest of that last Paris terrorist suspect.
No, they were going to happen. Well, when you look at a case as investigators, it's interesting because they're, we'll say a murder investigation. Oh, there's one motive. It's sex or robbery or whatever it might be. No, there can be a primary and secondary and tertiary motives behind this. Certainly, the arrest could very well play into it, but was it their initial motive? No, because the attacks actually preceded or they were planned long before the arrests were made. So don't listen to what these bubbling, blabbering bobbleheads on the evening news are telling you, and the stuffed shirts that sit around these panel tables on these political talk shows, because they don't have a clue, or maybe they do have a clue and they're just spreading disinformation. But what is happening here in America, we are being fed this spoonful, this huge spoonful of Islam, the moderation. Moderates, this moderate aspect of Islam, right? Whenever Islam is mentioned in a negative context, whether it be through the Brussels bombing or Paris or whatever, many, especially in the media, they'll challenge that only a small minority is dangerous. Okay, you hear this coming out of the mouths of these idiots running for office. Let me tell you something. The facts disprove this oversimplification. It is the facts fly in the face of it. Islam works as a two-edged sword, folks. One edge is terrorism, and the other edge is a subtle process that leads to complete subjugation of our country. Please understand what I'm saying here. I put a lot of thought and effort into this. The process that leads to Islamization is the latter stage, okay? It's not the contrary to the early growth of Islam or the spread of the cult of Islam. No, this latter stage, this latter edge of this two-edged sword is actually comprised of moderates that wittingly, deliberately work hand in hand with the terrorists already inside America. Look, this, it's real simple how it works. Terrorists commit acts of terrorism against us. Now, the moment that anybody begins to investigate the Islamic communities for hidden terror cells and supporters, the moderates and their apologists, insert name here, okay, charge us with religious and racial discrimination. They use our democratic laws against us. They thwart our investigative efforts to defend ourselves. And this opens the door for more terrorists to invade. And this is what we're seeing happening right now. Okay? We've swung open the doors. And Obama is behind this. Again, what in the heck are you expecting with a guy who was raised in Indonesia in a Muslim atmosphere? Is he a Muslim? Is he a Muslim? Who cares? He's a Muslim. I mean, I shouldn't say who cares. Of course he's a Muslim. He's a Muslim in the White House. And we put him there. Okay? The investigative efforts to defend ourselves are being thwarted by these wussies out there who want to embrace and understand. These are the same people who, few Americans understand that Islam inherently demands what is called a sacral government. Remember that phrase, sacral government. The vernacular for this is a church-state form of rule. A moderate Muslim does not qualify as a sincere Muslim unless he concurs with the Quran and every Islamic law contained within that book. Fundamentalist Muslims do not consider a Muslim who voices complaints against other Muslims as a true believer. That's why there's silence, crickets chirping in the background. People say, crickets. You understand why. This is why there's been an absence of public Muslim protests about the Islamic terrorist crimes that have been perpetrated within our nation. And when you do, and trust me when I tell you this, we have been targeted with threats of violence against us personally and directly. And you know what? I don't care. Because if we don't stand up and we don't talk and we don't say, look, this is a bunch of BS and the stuffed shirts behind the microphones at Fox News, at CNN, NBC, NBC, name the initials here. If these stuffed shirts don't start telling the truth, then they're going to watch. They just flushed the handle on the toilet that was once called America.
And they're never going to tell the truth.
We don't have a tolerance problem or an intolerance problem. We have a tolerance problem. We have a tolerance problem in this country. Can I say that again? We do not have an intolerance problem. We have a tolerance problem in this country. Now, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it through this crazy sexual practice, this equal rights. You see, the homosexuals, the transgendered, the LGBT community who openly embrace this tolerance of everybody are playing right into the hands of those people who want to slit their throats and watch as their carotid arteries pump the arterial spray against the wall. And they're so too stupid to understand it. They need eye salve of God. I do have facts to back this up. I mean, look, the research of the Pact of Omar, Christians and Jews being subjugated to a long list of humiliating and degrading rules included in what's known as the Pact of Omar. Mention the Pact of Omar to Glenn Beck, who views this alien invasion of Muslims and other than Americans or other than Mexicans as a humanitarian crisis. It's not a humanitarian crisis at all. It is a damn invasion of this country by a people who have absolutely no desire or intent to assimilate. It's subjugation of Christians and Jews. Plain and simple. You don't like me being this forceful? Tough. Change the channel. Go listen to some wimpy dimpy, let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. But it's about time, because now the battle lines have been drawn. You are going to see, ladies and gentlemen, this program right now, we are going to dial it up a notch. You are either with us, or you can just abandon us. But it's about time. We need to take a stand, because I'm going to tell you something right now. This country is in the fight of its life. But even more importantly, the body of Christ, the body of this church, is in the fight of its life. And we've got too many wimpy pastors, wimpy ministers, people, and I'm not a minister, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a man of God, you know, with a man of the cloth. I'm a talk show host at this point, and even that is in question. I'm just a guy, an investigator, who can see a problem and say, man, we got a big problem right now. And if you think Trump is gonna be the sole person that's gonna fix this, then God help you. Because you know why? It ain't gonna happen. You want your women, your daughters raped? Is that what you want? Then keep saying, well, we just have to just learn to, you know, get along and assimilate, or they'll assimilate, and we have to be more understanding. We can't bomb their countries. Well, you have a point there. Yes, you have a point there. Absolutely. But that's a hand, unfortunately, folks, that we've been dealt. That's a hand we've been dealt. That's a hand you and me, as the unwashed masses, have to deal with. All right? So if you're sitting in your little hole somewhere in your little hole in Mississippi somewhere, yipping and yapping, saying this and that about as true Christians we need to do this or that. Well, then you know what? God help you, because I'm certainly not going to. And you know what? We've got a real big problem with respect to the people. And I said yesterday during the program, the walls of America have been breached. The walls of the church, I'm not talking about the Catholic Church, I'm not talking about the Protestant Church or any one denomination, have been breached. The enemy is within us. They're walking among us. It's time to identify who the enemy is and to act accordingly. And I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about identification and understanding what their motives are. We're not seeing peaceful assembly against, for example, Donald Trump. We're seeing violent protests. Have you noticed that Christians rarely demonstrate their displeasure over religious issues by rioting? How many Christians have you seen riot? How many? Yeah, you got a few flakes out there. Antagonists can shout that God is dead. Wayward theologians can write that Jesus was born by a Roman soldier's bastard, and that he fornicated with Mary Magdalene in adulthood. How many people say, wait, that's wrong, and then burn down the mosque or the building? I don't see any.
No, and a lot of what you're referencing now comes from Gnostic texts that were tried to be put in as gospel. Obviously, been proven, you know, their falsehood has been proven as we have the gospel. But
when in the hell are people?
Gnosticism has infiltrated since the first century and will continue to.
Exactly. And I love you for saying that, because making that distinction. But I'm gonna tell you this: there's something virulent about the nature of Islam that incites its adherence to violence. This is not restricted to Arab Muslims. It is inherent in Muslim and Islam itself. And if you want to turn me over to the ACLU or the right wing hate watch or whoever, then do it. And I would wear that characterization with a badge of honor, because what's that line in the movie? You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. Not meaning our audience, but to the people who are out there, you know, as wimpy Christians who are saying, well, we can't really stir the pot because we don't want to, you know, we don't want to stir the pot. We don't, we want to appear as, well, we can appear as rational. But as Coach Dave Dobemeyer said so eloquently during that conference, which was a resounding success, by the way, many people finding God and salvation at that conference to the dismay of the people who wanted to take it down. Well, you failed. Jesus won. You failed. Jesus won. And you know what? We are going to fight to the death. We are going to fight to, I'm going to fight to my death to make sure that that occupation is not a passive activity. That Christians, to the best of my ability, we're not going to have Christian versus Christian. And if you want to play that game, get the hell out of the sandbox. Take your bat and ball and go home. But you're not going to, we are going to be victorious. We know how the book ends. We know how the story ends. We know that Jesus died for our sins. And again, I am not a pastor, preacher, minister. They wouldn't have me because, no, I shouldn't say they wouldn't have me. They wouldn't want me, I guess. And frankly, I'm not worthy of that. Anyway, I'm just a guy. We're just guys. Investigators. But it doesn't take Dick Tracy to understand we have such a huge problem in this country, and it's a spiritual problem, not a political problem. And if you don't understand that we are not going to fix this with politics, if you want to stick to the CPAC answers, you want to stick to the Republican versus Democrat, and I mean this sincerely, may God have mercy on your soul. And by the way, every day I ask for mercy on mine because I need it. But the bottom line here, the First Amendment is on life support. The Second Amendment is not far behind. And the church stands by in silence. And the facilitators, the wimpy, ankle-biting facilitators out there are exploiting the problem. And that, folks, concludes my opening statement.
We still have a half hour left.
Oh, I can go on. I can go on.
I'm kidding.
No, but we need to really address this Brussels issue as well. If you think that it's confined to an American Airlines desk in Brussels in the airport in the subway system, no, because it's going to happen in Nebraska. It's going to happen in Missouri. It's going to happen where you least expect it. And those people who recoil in shock and surprise, well, let me tell you something, folks. It's going to happen soon. And you know what else is going to happen? The racial divide is being planned right now. Black versus white. And it's being funded. And everything you see over the next 6 months, when the news says surprise attack, flash riot, flash mob, don't believe it. It's being planned right now. We're going to see it.
Absolutely. Well, what to hit from here? I want to hit this article here. I wanted to cover this with Stan, but just in case we don't get to it, this is out of Yahoo News today. I'm sorry, yesterday. Eccentric Planet HD 2782 has one of the weirdest orbits science has ever seen. Astronomers have spotted a planet with one of the strangest orbital paths ever. It's called HD 2782. Rather than traveling in a nearly circular pattern around its star like the planets in our solar system, this other planet in a flattened elliptical shape orbit, according to a press release from San Francisco University, the orbital path looks somewhat like a a hula hoop and is squashed, as astronomers call it, an eccentric orbit. Now, Dad, you can see this orbital path.
I can. This is stand material. Right?
Yeah, it is. And it says it represents a rare opportunity to study a planet with an orbit that is so different from the ones in our solar system. The planet's furthest point from the star is about 2.5 times the distance from the Earth of the Sun, but its closest approach filings is much closer to its star than Mercury is to the Sun. It's around the mass of Jupiter, they say, but swinging around the star is like a comet, this astronomer Stephanie Kane said in a statement. They aren't sure what caused this unusual path. When we see a planet like this, it's an eccentric orbit. It can really be hard to explain how it got that way. It's kind of like looking at a murder scene when the people examine blood spatter patterns on a wall. You know something bad has happened, but you need to figure out what caused it.
This is kind of a side note. For everybody, because I wrote a book called Stained by Blood. It is, I've got certification in the forensic discipline of blood stain analysis. It's blood spatter, no L.
Yeah.
Okay. And you said it correctly, I believe, but blood spatter. Just kind of a little trivia for those trivia minded. Go ahead.
Well, let's get back to the terrorist attack in Brussels, and we'll leave that story for Stan. Terror in the terminal. Chilling footage shows moment passengers cower under desks and run for their lives after suicide bomb blast rocked Brussels airport in a series of ISIS attacks that have killed over 34 people. And this is an updated report, so some of the numbers initially have risen. They say at least 14 people were killed after two explosions struck near the check-in desks at Brussels airport at 8 a.m. Those were American Airlines desks. Report of a firefight between police and attackers seconds before they shouted in Arabic and detonated bombs. And you know what they shouted? Allah Akbar.
Hail or not praise Jesus Christ? Oh, gee, that's a surprise.
No, that's not what they shouted. Obviously this is a terrible tragedy that's happened here. Many are injured. Hundreds are injured in this bloody attack. And they go on to say here, two suspects were arrested a mile from the Malbec metro station around 11 a.m. as hundreds of troops and police flooded the streets of Brussels in the hunt for members of the terror cell. Now, I don't know how many people heard this, but there was an airplane that came from Brussels that landed at Orlando Airport that was stormed by federal officers. The results of that raid on the plane are unreported at this time. But for what it's worth, they suspected that there was somebody who had something to do or knowledge of this attack in Brussels on a airline that came and landed in Orlando here today, and the feds raided the plane upon the landing. Now, Donald Trump mentioned Brussels 2 months ago in January and talked about how it's become a hotspot of Islamic...
He called it a hellhole.
Yeah, and he said that he visited in the 90s, and it was beautiful country, and many people are giving him, actually, in the news, I saw a quick two-minute clip from The View that somebody had posted on the internet, where they were, the title was, "The Hell Has Frozen Over, Ladies on The View Agree with Donald Trump," but it was interesting to see, them turning around and actually giving him credit for it. But the bombing came just days after the Belgian interior minister warned of possible revenge attack. As I said earlier, Erdogan, the president of Turkey, warned of a Belgian terrorist attack himself days before the event happened. Speaking today, Belgian Prime Minister Charles Michel said that what we feared has happened. In this time of tragedy, this black moment for our country, I appeal to everyone to remain calm and slow and to show solidarity. Terror gripped the airport around 7 a.m. local time as passengers checked in their bags and prepared to board flights. Photographs from inside the arrival hall showed the floor covered in fallen tiles and dust bloodied from people hobbling out of the airport. Others injured were photographed lying on the floor. Video showed terrified passengers running for their lives out of the building. Firefighters entered the terminal. The search for survivors are said to have found a third unexploded device, while armed police in protective clothing combed the building for more wounded travelers and suspicious bags. The British Foreign Office today confirmed two Britons were injured in the explosions, while three American missionaries were believed to have been seriously hurt. A Foreign Office spokesman said embassy staff were providing counselor assistance to two injured Britons and are ready to support any further British nationals that have been affected. A Belgian TV station is reporting that at least one of the bombs in the Brussels airport contained nails. And again, one of the explosive devices were found and were not detonated. There was a third bomb that ripped through the Mellebek metro station, killing 20 more people. That was in a subway, separate from the airport bombings. At 11 a.m., Belgian prosecutor Fernandad van Leeuw confirmed that three explosions were terror attacks, and two suspects were arrested 1 mile away from the metro station, and a Kalinijov, an unexploded suicide bomb vest, were found in the rubble at the airport. So it goes on to say there was a first blast, and then 10 seconds later, a second explosion. This was in the airport, and the ceiling went down. It was just 30 meters from where I was, one witness said. And again, so after those two explosions, initial explosions at the airport, there was a third explosion in a subway station there in Brussels. So, you know, where do we go from here? They're increasing the security at major airports across the United States. There has been an evacuation at part of the Denver International Airport, as well as heightened security in areas like Washington, D.C., L.A., and New York City. Not only at the airports, but at the train stations and bus stations. Now, is this the end of the...
Wait a second, Joe. Wait a second, okay. So let me get this straight. We, as Caucasian American Christians, can go to the airport. We get groped. We get prodded. We get nuked. We get humiliated, degraded. We get treated like concentration camp. We're headed off to some concentration camp. And these idiot TSA goons out there, these effeminate, people that are no better than Walmart greeters, okay, or that have no other, really no other training than Walmart greeters. They take your wife and they take her aside and swab her for explosives. Well, what the hell happened in Brussels where they didn't swab this idiot for explosives? Where, and are these idiots, plural, okay? What is it?
I think they got through security.
And did you know, in certain countries in the European Union, they cannot conduct raids after 5 p.m., okay? Legit. Now, I'm not talking, folks, I'm not talking about Nazi-esque, militarized police, anti-constitutional stuff here in America. I'm talking about reasonable stuff in Europe. Did you know that after 5 p.m. they can't do that? They cannot, in certain countries, they cannot conduct a police raid of suspected Islamic terrorists after 5 p.m. How crazy is that? Meanwhile, our wives, our daughters, the very people you love and you watch as you sit there in the airport and say nothing, as I try to, above a whispered yell, saying, who's going to join me? And everyone walks away feeling embarrassed like wimps. And where do we I don't want to cause a scene. No, go ahead. Don't cause a scene. Don't say a damn thing. We need to bankrupt the airlines, because this did happen at an airport, and it's going to happen at an airport here in this country. The bottom line, folks, again, we are being gamed. We are being groomed and conditioned and programmed to accept this. We are being subjugated. The boot of the jackbooted thugs. They want you to lick, they want us to lick their boots. Don't mention Islam. Don't mention, the motivation behind these attacks. The motivation behind these attacks, it's a doctrine of demons. It's a spirit of the Antichrist. But you can't tell that to people. You can't tell that. You can't be, otherwise you're being intolerant. Well, again, I go back to the state. statement. We don't have a problem with intolerance. We have a problem with tolerance. It's too much of it. We tolerate too much. And you know what? I'm convinced, absolutely 100% convinced of the fact that there is very few Christians in this country are going to rise up, stand up, and say, no, not today, not with me, not now, not ever. I'm absolutely convinced of that. So the people listening to this program, you know, we all have to band together. And this, since this did happen in Brussels at a train station, and, you know, the AK-47 Kalashnikov rifles found and the explosives found, okay, a metal detector would have found that stuff. But profiling would have found that. Let's bring back profiling. Let's bring back stuff that works. Don't fondle my girlfriend's hair, and certainly don't fondle my daughter, okay, if you're at the TSA. Let's start addressing the problem. Let's not maintain political correctness here. Let's break political correctness in half. And if it doesn't anger you to watch your daughter, your wife, your aunt, your mother, somebody in a wheelchair. I watched it must have been an 80-year-old woman in a wheelchair halfway taking her wheelchair apart at the airport. Okay, and if we are going to allow the TSA to do this, and this is what happens. See, we look at Brussels and we all go, oh my gosh, oh no, oh no. You know, at least the idiots on the mainstream media do this, and the big talkers, afraid to offend the very people who we are at war with. Why? Because of the almighty dollar sponsorship and because of the fact that they don't have a Christian foundation for what they're talking about. But we as Christians better man up, wise up, and start acting up. When I say act up, I mean act on behalf of what is right, the righteous. Because we are fighting a doctrine of the demonic. If you look at who Allah of Islam is, and see all of this conversation about Brussels, it all comes down to one thing. Paris, one thing. What is that one thing? It's Islam. It's Islam, the cult of Islam. It's the spawn of Satan. It's a cult. Don't tell me it's a Christian. Don't tell me it's a Baptist, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever. But see, the bottom line here, what is the bottom line? The bottom line, and let's never forget this. Let's never forget this. They want to outlaw all monotheistic religions. That includes Christianity, especially Christianity and Judaism, and built an infrastructure, the state government, on Islam. Why? Because Islam, as Peter Lavenda told you, and as others have told you, they are weaponizing Islam to subjugate you, your families, and you, the future generations, to this doctrine of the demonic. And if I get censored or censured because of this, then so be it. Because somebody needs to start speaking the truth and say, look, this is the bottom line. This is the architecture for this new state religion, the new world order religion. Anyone familiar with the Bible that reads the Quran and has read the Quran and the Hadith, you can discern that Muhammad was familiar with Judaism and Christianity, and that he plagiarized the Bible. He plagiarized the Bible. Muhammad made self-aggrandizing claim that he was Allah's final messenger with divine insights and anointing that eclipsed those of his predecessors. He claimed himself to be God and relegated Jesus Christ to nothing but a prophet. And that's what modern Muslims do today. And I don't care if you're a moderate Muslim or if you're a fundamentalist Muslim, that's what's going on today. And that's the problem. Behind all the smoke of the explosions, behind the nails from the backpacks, behind the bullets of the Kalashnikovs, that's the problem. Did I interrupt you?
No, you didn't. I forgot actually my train of thought. But, you know, there's an article up on CNBC right now. Why still terror risk after all that security money spent? And it goes on to say, last holiday season, New York-based private investigator and security consultant Bill Stanton went to see Radio City Music Hall's famed Christmas Spectacular show, which draws thousands of people every day to Manhattan's already busy Midtown neighborhood. Stanton had a loaded semi-automatic pistol, which he was licensed to carry, strapped to his ankle holster. The ex-New York cop also had an extra magazine for the gun containing additional rounds of ammunition on his belt. And it goes on to say that the security guard stopped him, waved a metal detecting wand around him, and they did not, he says, Stanton said the guard didn't check his ankles. Anyway, he got through security with all of his weapons. And which, you know, begs the question, what are, the 50 or 75 CCTVs, that were monitoring the Belgian airport, or the airport in Brussels there? What effect did they have? What effect did the security that, you know, was around and in and around the airport and the subway system? Yeah. And that's what this article goes on to say. You know, $650 billion has been spent on Homeland Security, after the 9/11 attacks to beef up protection, among other things, at airports, train stations, sports stadiums, and other places that draw large crowds. But, you know, the stories of, like these, of this private investigator Stanton fail to, show the failure of the security, not only at airports, but at other venues all across the country. What was it? Last year we read a stat, like 95% of weapons get through the TSA body scanners.
Well, you got 73 terrorists working for the TSA. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job. I think I met two of them on this last trip to Dallas.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, they come complacent in their jobs and, you know, they do what they're trained to do instead of, like you said, regardless what people might think, the profiling is a major aspect of behavioral analysis for possible terrorists. And it is racist to profile. Unless you're in New York City, then the stop and frisk profiling is okay. But, which, again, Ted Cruz came out in big support of today. But
Wait. I'm surprised. Hang on a second. Okay, I just had to regain my composure. That surprises me.
Ted Cruz embraces Bloomberg-era New York values on surveillance.
What? Uh-huh?
Yeah, Ted Cruz embraces New York, Bloomberg-era New York values on surveillance,
okay,
praising Bloomberg for his not only increase of surveillance cameras, but the stop-and-frisk policies that he implemented to secure and search.
So the hell with the Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment. The heck with that, right? We don't need that. And you understand the security in Lower Manhattan. If you've ever been to the Water Street building, the cameras, there's cameras in there covering every square inch of Lower Manhattan. Of course, that's the Federal Reserve, Wall Street. You got that, right? You understand that the DHS, the CIA, the FBI, and all the major banks have the security in Lower Manhattan. The banks, if you walk into the building, if you're lucky to do that, if you have either the friend that'll kind of let you see, there's rows of computer stations, and one row is the FBI, another row is the NYPD, and then you've got DHS, and then you've got the banks. When I say banks, I'm talking about, like, you know, First National Bank, Citibank. I'm talking about, you know, the brokerage houses. Yeah. Did you know that? Next to each other, sharing information. We live truly. George L. Orwell was not only right, but he was wrong, because it's worse than Orwell predicted.
Listen to this. In the wake of the Tuesday bombings in the Belgian capital, UK Independence Party leaders have issued a statement claiming that the only way to protect Britain from a similar fate is to suspend the Schengen Agreement and reestablish border control. Prime Minister David Cameron immediately deemed these remarks as offensive, lashing out at the UKIP for using Brussels attacks to make a case for Brexit. It all comes in a time when Europe is largely divided over the migrant crisis. Could jihadists be crossing into Europe from Syria and other hotbeds unnoticed? Can Europe handle more migrants if it can't deal with homegrown terror? And was this a case of homegrown terror? I doubt it.
No. This is orchestrated. You got to understand, okay? They can't weaponize Judaism. They can't weaponize Christianity. They've weaponized Islam. Folks, please understand, they've taken Islam because Islam is a cult, because Islam worship, because, and there's no other way to say this. You can't say this nicely. Islam really is a cult. So they can weaponize it. They could take the fundamentalists, and they can take the people most pliable. They can tell them, hey, you've got your reward, via Allah, and here's what you need to do. You need to go out there, kill the infidel. It gives you a few notches on your spiritual belt. You go up there, you enjoy the fruits of your earthly, carnage. And that's what they're teaching these people. But who's teaching them? Who's behind this? It's the criminal cabal of this government, and I know this is hard for people to swallow, but it's the Hillary, Diane, Rodham, Clinton, the Barack Hussein Obama. Again, what don't people understand about the middle name Hussein? Okay, if that sounds bigoted, so be it. You got what you wanted. Deal with it.
You know, the president next month is scheduled to go to Saudi Arabia. Not only to go
what,
to Saudi
to get
Arabia,
his check, to pick up his check or what?
Four U.S. senators meet with Saudi King Solomon ahead of the Obama visit. Saudi Arabia officials, News Agency says King Solomon has met with U.S. congressional delegation ahead of Barack Obama's scheduled visit next month. The Saudi press agency says the delegation was led by ranking Senate Foreign Relations Committee member Ben Cardin, Democratic Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts and Republican Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado and Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon. SPA says Saudi Crown Prince and Interior Minister Mohammed bin Naif and Foreign Minister also attended Monday's meeting. On Sunday, the senators met with Doha and Qatar's ruler, Mr. Tamim. And it goes on to say, Obama is due to visit Saudi Arabia on April 21st and attend the Gulf Cooperation Council Summit. The GCC includes Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, and United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Oman. And I wanted, second time this slipped my mind. The president meeting in Cuba with Fidel Castro spent 51 seconds addressing the terrorist attack today. Going over to Saudi Arabia, the Bush-Saudi connection, as Bush and the leadership of Saudi Arabia were just as tight as the Bush and his father were, in from Prescott Bush down to George Bush Sr. to the latest George Bush presidency, all had their, the last Bush president had and started his business with the Osama bin Laden family down in Texas in an oil field. The Carlyle Group, George Bush Sr.
I've got two notebooks in my office filled with that information. And folks, if you want, someday we'll have a program on it because the connections are there. And as you know, Eric the Tech said to Joe and I, guys, got to take it to the George Bush Library. And we went there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice place. In fact, I have my picture. Eric took my picture sitting behind the Oval Office, or the Georgia, or
the replica Oval Office.
Yeah, thank
and that
you.
Was one that of the neat things about that place was they had a replica of the Oval Office. That's one legitimate part of that library.
There's a key word, legitimate.
That it was just a joke. They had the list of they had rooms of accomplishments of the Bush presidency. One of them being Katrina. One of them being 9/11.
Mission
one of
accomplished,
them being no
guys.
Child left behind. All disasters of domestic policy in both the educational system. We even sat down and were able to take a 4-minute. It was basically a crash course decision making. If you were the president, what would you do on the economic emergency of 2008?
They didn't have any buttons
opposite,
for what I wanted to do.
We all clicked opposite of what President Bush actually did, which was letting the institutions fail that caused the collapse in the first place instead of using taxpayer money to bail them out. The people in that room, when we took that test, which was about, 25 people, or did that run-through, was everybody smarter than the president and the people behind his decision?
You know what? Here's why. Because the politicians, the people inside the Beltway, they don't give a darn about you and I. They don't care about you and I. They care about their banking friends. Ted Cruz cares about the Council on Foreign Relations and his friends. You listen to Ted, you listen to Paul McGuire, you listen to the people who know the Cruz, you know his connections, okay? It's the same old, the money, follow the money, and where does the money go? Not in your pocket, not in my pocket, but in the pocket of the Wall Street bankers.
And I wanted to ask you this, is it any coincidence that today is 3/22?
Yeah, well, no, there are no coincidences in this.
We got to get that piece of two.
Right. In Brussels, 3/22. Do you think that means anything? Skull and Bones, 3/22. Spring equinox, yesterday.
Yeah.
Blood sacrifices. Randy Conway's. God bless you.
Thank you, Randy. His zeal. There's a product he has out there. It's called Zeal. It is full of vitamins. It's a daily I would call it a multivitamin drink, and much more than that. My wife absolutely loves the product, and he just sent us some. Thank you, Mr. Conway. I will be calling you at some point this week.
Well, it's not Kool-Aid, Joe.
No.
Randy sent this, and I'm going to read this real quick here. Is it too late? Now, Randy Conway is our resident poet, and he's a great guy. But this strikes right at the core of what we're talking about. Is it too late? Have too many drunk the Kool-Aid? Is it too late for America to be saved? Are there any real men left who are willing to fight? Has political correctness succeeded in making the wrong seem right? Do any hear the words of truth or listen to what the watchmen say? Are any aware of what is happening at home or around the world today? How many are obsessed with the triviality coming from the Hollywood cesspool? Are we finished as a nation because we are now a nation of fools? As the old men die and are no more, the youth have no knowledge of the days of yore. Has righteousness been diminished with the passing of each generation? Have we reached the point where righteousness is gone? And in its place, desecration. Desecration of the value of life. The desecration of God's ultimate sacrifice. Will we have elections to vote in a new king of fools to a fool's paradise? The Kool-Aid is sweet. But has it deluded the minds of men so that men have no conscience and celebrate their sin? Who mixes this deadly poison and passes it out for all to drink? What prompts a man to swallow this swill so that he can no longer think? Have too many drunk the Kool-Aid? Is it too late for mankind to be saved? Randy Conway, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic there. And again, check out his product, Zeal, as he has sent us some again. And Randy, we thank you. My wife thanks you. And it's just fantastic, a fantastic product. Coming up in the next hour, as we're drawing to a close of this one, Stan Dale from standale.com. And I'm going to skip over here on the website and see what he has up the pipeline for tonight. As we went a week without him, as we were traveling in Dallas last week, and did a show and did not have the capability to bring him on. But okay. Yeah, he's got some new stuff. If you go to standale.com and go to the show images side, you can pull that up and see what he's got ready to talk about tonight. Stone rings in the Golan Heights, the Earth's gravitational geoid animated. Don't know what that is, but definitely interested in hearing his explanation. Garden of Eden with North Pole, and connected to Atlantis Plain with North Pole, and amongst other things, the stone rings of the Kako Canyon and actual Stonehenge today, similarities between Atlantis and Stonehenge, and much more. And it looks like one of the common themes here is Atlantis, which is always a fun subject to talk about. Because we know very little factual information about it, but most of what we know about it is myth or is other people's opinions and interpretations of that land once, whether real or fabricated in old philosophical workings. But Sandea will be joining us just coming up here. And if you're late joining us, we are live. Today is Tuesday, and we've been talking about the Arab invasion of the Western European countries, not only in Europe, but also here in America. Again, quoting the Pope, the Arab invasion is a good thing for cultural diversity for Europe. Said that about 3 weeks ago to a month ago. Also, other news, I believe that there are some primaries coming up in Arizona and Utah. And we will talk with Stan Dale on the other side of this Hagman and Hagman Report today, Tuesday. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.